Jesse wasn't in uniform when he walked into Swampscott High School. He wore jeans and a blue blazer and a white shirt with a collar open. Summer school was in session, and kids with bad grades or bad attitudes or overzealous parents were in their classrooms. Jesse felt the old feeling as he walked along the empty corridor. He had always disliked school, had always thought it full of cant and nonsense. And in his adulthood, he was sometimes startled at how early in life he'd been right. In the outer office, at her desk behind her computer, guarding the principal's gate, was a portly woman in a tight gray perm and a long blue dress. She looked at Jesse as if he'd just been loitering in the hall. "Jesse Stone," he said, "for Lily Summers." "Do you have an appointment with Dr. Summers?" the guardian said. She underscored the doctor. "I do." "Regarding what?" Jesse took out his badge holder and flipped it open. The guardian craned her neck at it as if it were too small to see. "Are you with the police?" she said. "I am." "Well, why didn't you say so?" "I don't know." "Wait here." Jesse smiled as the guardian lumbered into the principal's office. "She'll keep me waiting longer than she needs to," he thought. "Make sure I know that Dr. Summers is important." Took almost 5 minutes for the guardian to deliver the fact of Jesse's presence and for Dr. Summers to agree that, in fact, Stone had an appointment. Finally, the guardian came out and left Dr. Summers' door open and frowned at Jesse and stood aside. Given her heft, she had to stand a good distance aside for Jesse to get by. Inside, Dr. Summers stood and put out her hand. She was a slender woman with a young face and silver hair. Jesse wondered if she were older than she looked or if her silver hair was premature. He decided she was young, and the hair made her look distinguished. If she were older, she'd color her hair to look younger. "Jesse Stone," he said. "Sit down, Mrs. Stone," she said. "You're with the Paradise Police?" "Yes." "And it's something..." She looked distressed. "About a murder?" He noticed she wore no wedding ring. It meant less than once it might have, Jesse knew. A lot of married women, especially married professional women, no longer wore wedding bands. "Yes," Jesse said. "Last week we found the body of a young woman who'd been dead for several weeks in a lake in Paradise." "How awful." "Especially for her," Jesse said. "She'd been shot in the head." "Someone killed her?" "Yes. On a chain around her neck was a Swampscott High School ring, class of 2000. Jesse took the ring out and placed it on the desk in front of Dr. Summers. Dr. Summers was wearing a black linen suit and a crimson shirt. As she shifted in her chair to look at the ring, Jesse saw that the suit fit her very well. She was wearing a nice perfume, too. "My God," she said. Jesse nodded. "Is there a way to know whose ring this is?" Jesse said. "From the size," Dr. Summers said, "I assume it was a young man and a member of the class of 2000. "Yes." "Any way to know which one?" "We graduated 113 young men last June," Dr. Summers said. She crossed her legs. Jesse noticed that her legs looked good. "Do you have any young women from the school that are missing?" "None that I know of. It is, of course, summer. I'd have no way to know once school ended." "And the victim doesn't have to be from your school," Jesse said. "Does every graduating senior get a ring automatically?" "No, they have to be ordered, and some students don't bother." "To show you they didn't like the school," Jesse said. "I imagine so," Dr. Summers said. "They're often among the more disaffected." "Not a bad thing," Jesse said. "Disaffection? No, not at all." "Were you disaffected, Chief Stone?" "You bet," Jesse said. "Do you have a record of the orders?" "No. We order from a company called C.C. Benjamin in Boston." "Did you attend college?" "No," Jesse said. "I went from high school to a minor league baseball team." "Really? Did you ever play major league baseball?" "No. I was a shortstop, got as far as Albuquerque and tore up my shoulder." "The one you throw with?" "Yes." "That would be a bad injury for a shortstop." "Fatal," Jesse said. "You follow baseball, Dr. Summers?" "Lily," she said. "Yes, very closely." "Did your husband play?" She smiled at him. "There is no husband, Chief Stone." Jesse smiled back at her. "Jesse," he said. They looked at each other silently for a moment, and just as he had realized suddenly that she was good-looking, he understood suddenly that she was sexual. Her eyes, the way she moved, the way she held herself. "How will you identify her?" Lily said. "We'll ask everyone who ordered a class ring to account for theirs. And if they can't, it narrows the list. Then we ask around as to which of these guys had a girlfriend and what was her name and see if she's missing." "Labor intensive," Lily said. "It is," Jesse said. "Is it usually this laborious?" Lily said. "No, usually you got a pretty good idea that it was the husband or Uncle Harry or whatever, and you set out to prove it. Murder is fairly unusual anyway, especially in a town like Paradise. Most of it is drunk driving and lost dogs and kids smoking dope in the town cemetery, but here we don't even know who the victim is yet." "And there's no missing persons report that would be her?" "No." "Isn't that unusual?" "Yes." Lily crossed her legs the other way. Jesse waited. "How did you go from shortstop to policeman, Jesse?" "My father was a cop," Jesse said, "in Tucson. When I couldn't play ball anymore, it seemed like the other thing I might know how to do." "And how did you end up in Paradise?" "I was a cop in L.A. I got fired for being drunk, and my marriage broke up, and I figured I'd try to start over as far from L.A. as I could." "Are you still drinking?" "Mostly not," Jesse said. "Is that why your marriage broke up?" "No," Jesse said. "Didn't help the marriage, and the marriage didn't help it, but there were other things." "There always are, aren't there?" "You've been divorced?" "Twice." "Are you seeing anyone?" "No." Jesse was quiet for a time, sitting motionless in the straight-backed high school chair. "Well," he said finally. "Hello."